spotted what was wrong with the lad. His feet were on backward, facing behind him. And there had been the group sitting around the pot-bellied stove, half a dozen men, all of them looking as if they were members of the same inbred family. They had thin hair, the color of rain-beat straw, and pale blue eyes with drooping lids.
Trader?
Yeah, what is it?
We just gonna walk in and take what we want?
Sure are, Abe, isn't it?
Yeah.
My memory's getting like an interstate sign. Crammed full of holes.
What is it that we want?
Jug or two of that homebrew. Salt. Saw some apples. Wouldn't mind if they got some fresh milk or butter. And a new baked loaf or two.
Didn't see any of that when we were there before. Just a lot of dirt and some crazies who looked like they all had the same father and a shitload of different mothers.
Trader slapped Abe on the shoulder, nearly knocking him off his feet.
Might not be enough of you to feed a bear cub, Abe, but you're a ballsy little bastard. Now let's go kick the redneck's asses.
Abe blinked. It was like a bad dream, where you think you've been someplace before. The store was precisely the same as it had been for their previous visit. Same old woman leaned on the filthy counter, and the same bunch of men sat around the stove. And there was the same silence when he and Trader walked in. Trader walked up to the counter and rapped on it with the butt of the rifle, jerking the old woman out of a daydream.
Got any bread?
Making some tomorrow.
So you can just fuck off in the forest and find yourself a good pile of bark and some dead beetles and make do with that, Daddy Outlander.
Trader turned around. There was a tension to his wiry, muscular body that Abe remembered from times past. Abe readied himself for the violence that he guessed was waiting in the wings.
Enough!
Now what does that mean, old-timer?
The old woman behind the counter hastily took down a framed picture of a racehorse.
It means we came in here real peaceable, not looking for any sort of trouble.
Which wasn't quite true. The idea had been to go in and take what they wanted by threat of arms, but things had moved so far and so fast that it didn't much matter.
Might not want trouble, you gray-haired old bastard, but you sure found it.
Yeah, insults our vill, don't he?
This your vill, is it?
Sure is.
My mistake, friend. I mistook it for a shithole in the dirt filled with dead worms that used to fuck their grandmothers.
Trader's words hung in the air.
Oh, that about does it.
You're dead, old man. You're walking around and sucking air. But you're deader than a rusty bucket. Was gonna just kick you around some, but not now.
Loudest talking corpse I ever did see, Abe.
The sound of the gun was deafening in the small building. The bullet hit the man through the center of his belly and exited behind in a spray of blood and torn intestines, breaking a window at the side of the store.
Land of Goshen! Oh.
The old woman's eyes rolled up in their sockets as she fell to the floor behind the counter in a dead faint.
I'll shoot anyone makes a bad move. Get us some food, Abe, if you can find anything in this midden worth eating or drinking.
Abe hadn't found much worth taking, but he'd snatched two green bottles of what he hoped were pulque, as well as some jerky and a handful of biscuits.
Best get out, Trader.
Trader? Who you joshing, stranger? Trader died 10 years back.
And your friend here got himself chilled by a ghost.
Trader backed toward the door, making sure that Abe was covered by the armalite. Abe peered through the dusty glass of the door into the street.
Company out there. Old man, three women, and one I ain't sure of.
Carrying?
One's got a saw down. The old man. The others don't have any weapons, but it won't take long.
You bastards are dead for that! We'll hunt you like the dogs you are!
I heard that a hell of a lot of times. Take out the guy carrying the scattergun, Abe. We'll be able to shake the friendly mud of this wholesomeville off our boots.
Abe inched out of the door, aware of a hum of movement, like a wasp nest after someone's poked a stick inside it. The old-timer with the saw down looked at him, seeing the gleaming blaster in his hand. Then the old man turned on his heel and scuttled away, realizing that it was a lost cause.
Gone now.
Fine. First one of you folks to stick his nose out the door gets it blown away. It's not a threat. It's a promise.
You are the traitor, aren't you?
So they say.
Traitor fired a bullet into the ceiling, shaking down the mummified corpse of a large brown rat and several pounds of powdery rust. Then he was outside, running fast, heading around the corner of the ruined church toward the trees, Abe close at his heels. Someone fired a shot from a black powder musket, but the ball went nowhere near either of them. A lean mongrel snarled and snapped at Traitor. The Traitor smashed its skull open with the butt of the rifle, not even breaking step.
Was it worth it, Traitor? Didn't get away with much worth having.
Always worth it. You don't try, then you don't succeed, do you?
You can run, but you can't hide from us outlanders. We know the woods and the valleys, and we'll catch you. Blood for blood.
The biting anger in the voice pursued Abe into his dreams that night. It had been some years since Ryan and JB had ridden that part of northern New Mexico. A wild and barren land, a person could travel for 3 days in a straight line and never see a single living soul. Their memories were of rolling hills, stubbled with sagebrush and mesquite, seamed by fresh rivers, with orange mesas and buttes dotting the higher ground, and snow-tipped mountains away to the east. The only life you ever saw, apart from the scattered and isolated villes, was the Navajo. A single horseman on the skyline, watching over a few dozen sheep, an elderly woman, head covered in a patterned scarf, trudging along a winding highway, looking neither to left nor right, going from one unimaginable place to another. And the empty hogans, left open and deserted, so that the night spirits of the dead could move away from them. The passing of time hadn't made many changes. The region had been plagued by a number of fairly recent quakes, breaking open the blacktops and splitting the land into dark crevasses. One of them meant a change in plan on the afternoon of the second day out. Route 44, as it wound through the Nacimiento Mountains, had been wiped away, disappearing into a riven moonscape that even the off-road LAV would have found impossible. JB was at the driving controls of the eight-wheeler, and he pulled over, switching off while he and Ryan consulted their precious old maps.
There's a road east, across to Coyote, then east again to Abiquiu.
Nah, it'll take us the wrong way. Gas is at a premium. Look, there's a blacktop west through the Chaco Canyon, and then on to 371 toward Farmington or Cortez, or Durango. At least it's in the right direction.
North and west. Probably only a dirt road. Still, yeah, let's go for that. Just one thing, Ryan, old friend.
What?
We have a breakdown in a region like this, and the chances of getting out alive are somewhere between 1 and 0. The ass end of nowhere.
No choice, is there? When is there a choice, JB? Tell me that. I remember somebody once talking about this road on Warwag 1.
Who?
I can't remember. Might have been Simon Lamb. It was someone who was interested in the old Indian things. Said he'd visited Chaco Canyon when he'd been a young sprout in a ville on the edge of Monument Valley. Claimed that in pre-dark days there were big arguments about this dirt road. Some said it should be upgraded to a smooth blacktop to make it easier to visit the canyon. Others said it was good that only people who really wanted to go there would make the effort and keep the rough road.
This was the worst section of the trip since they'd left the ordinary highway. The LAV rising nose up like a breaching whale, then rolling to its left and sliding for 15 or 20 feet, finally climbing again up over a series of bone-rattling humped ridges.
Don't need to ask who won the argument. And it's your turn to spell me, Ryan.
They reached the ruins of what had once been the visitor center in the middle of the afternoon, stopping in what was the overgrown sandy remains of the parking lot.
Doesn't look like the most hospitable place in the world.
Lamb say it was worth a look?
He sure did. I think he said it was about the biggest and the best of the centers of the Anasazi culture over 1,000 years ago.
Mesa Verde.
Right. This was bigger. Much bigger.
Take a look in the building first?
Sure.
The drinking fountain stood just outside the broken entrance doors. Ryan pressed the chromed button on the top, and a tiny red spider with green legs fell out of the spout. It was long dead, curled into a ball. JB hesitated in front of the shadowed center.
Smell panther.
Yeah. Maybe we don't want to go in after all.